Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As usual, one must be very adaptable as one enters the parish ministry. I thought I would have the opportunity to speak in the chapel this morning, to hear the nice, beautiful pipe organ bellow out from the balcony, to rise above all the pews and look out in the large sanctuary, larger than what I'm normally accustomed to on a Sunday morning. But as usual, one must be always adaptable. For being a student here for 7 years on this campus, I once again find the opportunity to speak or to read in the chapel elude me once again. I knew that it was not going to be the normal morning as I walked down the beautiful walkway along the cherry blossoms of the lake. I looked down at my watch and wondered what time chapel started and noticed that the watch had stopped at 8:30. And so if the speech or the sermon this morning gets too long and you get hungry for your coffee and donuts, when I see Dr. Scare get up and leave for his donuts as usual, I know that I've gone too long. So once again, I will keep my remarks short for his sake. St. Paul says that we have to endure many sufferings and trials, and he had to endure whiplashes and suffering and stoning and that. I guess the modern day plague of all our students is that they have to avoid asbestos and inhaling it. So that's why we meet here this morning in the auditorium. Which means that I have to change my introduction because I was going to say that many people have walked through the doors of this chapel. Well, many people have walked through the doors of these auditoriums. Notable people, many noteworthy theologians. I'm sure that if Dr. Bowman, the president of the synod, walked through the door, everyone would stand up and wish the opportunity to shake his hand. Maybe if we can sort of bridge our Lutheran circles and go outside of it for a change, maybe if Dr. Billy Graham walked in, even though we may not agree with him theologically, I'm sure that all of you would trip over one another to shake his hand too. Many other people and noteworthy people have come through these doors. But what for the sake of discussion, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Eric Dickerson was to walk through the chapel door, or a Mr. Ron Kittle, or a Mr. Ben Crenshaw. Excuse me if I'm shaking up your theological little circles or that, but there are people by such names. Mr. Eric Dickerson plays with the LA Rams. Mr. Ron Kittle plays with the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox baseball team. And Mr. Ben Crenshaw, the winner of the Masters golf tournament just recently in Augusta, Georgia. There's one thing that all these men have in common, even though their athletics are in different sports, they all have one thing in common, and that they were great rookies, noteworthy rookies. Mr. Ron Kittle batted more home runs than any rookie has ever batted for the White Sox. Mr. Eric Dickerson had ran more yards than any rookie had ever run for the LA Rams. And Mr. Ben Crenshaw was a notable rookie, golf rookie, when he graduated from the University of Texas, winning the NCAA golf tournament and tourney for his school. Those men were great rookies. And they have one thing in common. They were a rookie just like you will be a rookie. We don't call it the first year out in the parish, maybe your rookie year. Or we don't call your vicarage year your rookie year, but you may feel like it. There's one thing that you have in common with these great athletes, and that is you will one day be a rookie too. St. Paul says in our text, in his instructions to Timothy, he's urging Timothy to be a rookie, but not only to be a rookie, but to be a great rookie. And St. Paul is urging us in these words of these texts and telling us that we can be a great rookie too. We can be a great rookie too by providing an example for people to look up to. Verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in love, in life, in faith, and in purity. Probably the first comments that you'll receive if you are a young student assigned to your first parish is that the elderly women of the congregation will take one look at you and go, oh my, are you young? My, and it's just like the Jewish mother would like to grab your cheek and just say, hello, sonny boy. Of course, then you go to your first voters' assemblies meeting and you sit there in your new clergy shirt and your usual ragtag suit coat left over from student days, and you sit there to listen to your first voters' assembly, and you make a suggestion, and the man looks down, towering down at you, and goes, oh, I have a son who's younger than you are. Why should I listen to you? Our first response may be, well, because I'm the pastor of this church. Keep in mind that as one displays authority, and the more that one displays the authority, the one less has of true authority. And that's why St. Paul is not urging Timothy to appeal to his pastoral authority, but he says, because you are young, people know that, take one look at you, they can see it. Because you are young, don't let anyone look down on you. But don't win their respect by your authority, but win it by setting an example for your believers in speech, in love, in life, in faith, and purity. There was a travel tour that went to a little small village in Germany, and all the tourists were looking around throughout the village and that, and they came to one man who was sitting on the bench, and they asked him, have any great men been born in this little village? And the old man looked up in his eyes and looked at the tourists and said, no, I'm sorry, just babies. So it is with all of you. We all have to start out young. We all have to start out sometime, someplace in our first parish. And the opportunity is always to gain respect by authority or because we command a position. But St. Paul is urging Timothy, gain their respect by setting an example. We can also earn that respect, and we can overcome our youth by preaching and teaching and devoting ourselves to the scripture, doing our duties. Often is the case, and that is why it brought me today here. I wanted to set an example for my parishioners. I wanted to volunteer to do a chapel service for the seminary. Quick, feel his forehead. He wanted to volunteer. Oh my goodness, that is a very strange word these days, volunteer. For everyone wishes to have the money out or their palm out. Well, how much does it cost? Or how much will I receive? St. Paul said, devote yourselves not to earning money, not to gaining things, but devote yourselves to your public reading and teaching and preaching of Scripture. That is the main task of why we have been called. A good number of our courses deal with preaching and teaching, but when we enter the parish, we'll find most of our time is anything but preaching and teaching. Pastor, the water cooler is broken, what shall we do? Pastor, the roof is leaking, what shall we do? Pastor, the lawn needs mowing, what shall we do? Pastor, can you go to the dinner and speak on behalf of our community? Pastor, can you do this or that? And find out that your schedule has no opportunity or time to prepare for Sunday morning sermon. That's why St. Paul knows very well, until I come, devote yourselves not to being janitor of the church, not to being custodian of the church or trustee or the spiritual PR man of the church, but devote yourselves to the public reading and scripture and teaching. And above all, not only preach and teach, but also we can be a great rookie by practicing our gift. our special gift from the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Now, I know a great number of years ago there was a great uproar about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and some have taken that out of bounds all the way out of the field and gone way beyond just to emphasize one gift. But for many years in my Lutheran heritage, I did not know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit were. Oh, I just thought that was that strange thing we should stay away from, which I agree, it caused nothing but headaches. But there are other gifts: preaching, teaching, showing mercy, helping one another, exhortation, showing great leadership or administration. There are many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to each member of His body, each member to do a specific task, to carry on the ministry of His Word. And just as you were called to the faith, so you were endowed with a special gift to be carried out in your ministry. What that gift is, you will have to discover. You will have to search. But each one of you have been given a special gift. You may not have the same gift as the other person, or the other person may not have the gift as you, but you do have your one special gift. And so often, people try to copy other people, try to implement their programs, do their ministry. Well, if it worked over at this church, it should work at my church. The only trouble is, you don't have the gifts that he has. Don't look at what the other guy is doing. Look to yourself and to what the Holy Spirit has given you to accomplish it. Build your ministry not on your weaknesses, but build your ministry on your strengths. For in doing so, you will soon discover that you have a viable ministry, as everyone else does in the ministry of His Word. And finally, we can become a great rookie by persevering. St. Paul says, "Be diligent in these matters. Give your souls wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Watch your life and your doctrine. Persevere. Hold to it. Hang tough. That is the words that St. Paul is telling young Timothy. For it is easy to get discouraged, easy to write your fifth resignation letter in the same month, even file copy number 10 in the file cabinet, just to pull it out after Easter service is over with and the whole hassle, and just take a look at it, and maybe just fold up your bags and your boxes once again and move on to some other place after you shake the dust off your feet. But you discover they have the same problems, the same headaches, and the same human nature as the next parish or the next parish. St. Paul says, don't play jackrabbit call. Hang tough. Persevere. Give yourselves wholly to your life, to your doctrine. Persevere in them. A runner, if he goes too fast in the beginning, if he tears down the 26th marathon mile and clips off the first 5 or 10 miles under 6 minutes, you know that he's not going to last for the whole race. He's going to hit the wall. And so many ministers hit the wall and give up. They do not know how to persevere. They do not know how to hang tough. And so St. Paul is saying, avoid hitting the wall. Pace yourself. Exercise caution and stretch yourself out. Persevere. Hang tough. It's easy to get your life and your doctrine muddled up in the matters of life. Oh, it's easy to be a pastor or classroom pastor. It's easy to have everything written in black and white in the classroom. But when you get out in life, you've discovered there is a lot of gray area. And those are human beings, human emotions, people that support you, people that you support you every day of your ministry in one manner or another, and you support them. Those are your friends, your colleagues. Things are not so clearly black and white. Minor issues become major issues, and so that you cannot even clearly see what is black and white anymore. St. Paul says, don't get all muddled up. Watch your life in your doctrine closely, persevere in them. Because if you do, you will not only save yourself, but you will also save your hearers, your congregation, because they look up to you as an example. It is difficult to be a rookie. It is difficult and tough to be a rookie. Everybody's looking at you. Everybody's watching you. But St. Paul is telling young Timothy, and he's telling you young students, older students, rookie students, you can be a great rookie for Jesus Christ by setting an example, by sticking to your preaching and your teaching, by practicing your gift, and always by persevering. It is difficult. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, as the prophet Isaiah says. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like an eagle, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and never faint. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.